Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Spectrum. This is Steve Warren, and we have some dance people here today. Now, normally dance and radio don't necessarily go together too well, but we're going to visualize it for you. We're going to speak to our guest. She and her organization have several performances coming up in the future, and we hope you'll be able to attend them. So I'd like to welcome Nani Chen. Thank you very much for coming by China America Radio.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
And also, we have Andy Cheng. Andy is the executive director of the Nani Chen Dance Company, and Nani is the artistic director. And so, welcome both of you to China America Radio.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Nani, you're the premier danseur. So let's get back to your career. Tell us about where were you born? Tell us about your family. Tell us about your early years. Let's get to know you a little bit as a person.
Sure. Well, I began dancing at a very young age, at 4 years old, in Taiwan. That's where I was born. And so I received a lot of training, you know, at a very young age, in Chinese folk dance. And then later on branch out to ballet, modern dance. So I kind of, you know, grew up with a lot of early childhood training. And then I was very serious about dance, you know, just my first passion and love, you know, and I stick to it because I remember it really taught me discipline and taught me, you know, like to see the light in life, you know. And so I went on to be a dance major. At a very young age, you know, continuing with it. And then I came to America after I finished college.
But at the Chinese Culture University.
Yeah, Chinese Culture University. That's where I went. Mm-hmm. But my early career, you know, really started very, very early when I was still a student. My student life interlaced with my professional life when I was even just 16 years old. I joined the Cloud Gate Dance Theater. The only one modern dance company there. So I was dancing with them professionally while I was a student. I also joined, I was selected by the government to come out to America to tour on two different trips, one time for 2 months, the other time for 6 months.
You came to the United States to live in 1982.
Yeah.
I believe. And what was that? Was that family move or was it just you on your own? What prompted that situation?
Well, I think I came on tour with the company from Taiwan. That was in 1978. And second time was in 1980. So those two trips really make a very important, made me to make such important move. I saw how, you know, this country, how the art scene was in this country and what it can offer me. To advance my own, you know, study in dance. So I made decision to come to New York after college. So I came right away after college in 1982 to pursue higher education in dance. So I went to NYU.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, that's an excellent school, and obviously you're doing very, very well. So we have got you taken care of the dancer. Let's bring Andy in. Andy is the executive director, which means you push the pencils around and do the bookings and take care of all the headaches, I would presume. What was your interest in and involvement with the dance company?
Well, I guess one would generally call it administration. The booking actually is handled by an arts agent or a management agent. So she does that, and I actually do all the fundraising. That's my primary job. And I've been involved with the company for 20 years, and so it's a passion. It's something that you have to do with a lot of love and a lot of dedication. I did study in the Martha Graham School very early on, but I never was a professional dancer. So I have an understanding of what dance really is involved and what it means to be a professional dancer. But I think my main activity with the company is to see how it can grow and how it can contribute to the community and how it can be part of this you know, international art scene and international sort of creativity that that is, you know, helping the society to move forward.
So, Nani, when you first started your company, what made you make that decision to start your own company rather than just be a choreographer or be a dancer with other companies? What little light went on in your head that says, I can do this and I can do this differently and I maybe can do it better?
Yes, I remember as a young choreographer in New York, you know, I used to put up a show together with another friend, you know, self-produced. And but in 1986, I remember it was 1986, there was one invitation from La Mama Theater in downtown New York. They were doing the festival, and then they found me. They wanted to present me. And that was the first time I had my whole company being presented in a one-evening length of concert. I was very encouraged by the audience and by the New York Times. I got an excellent review. So that sort of like, you know, gave me a push, you know, to start my own company. But another reason I started my own company is also because I felt that as my my own background, which is has so much of, you know, like traditional Chinese training plus the Western dance training. And if I only joined another American choreographer's company, it could satisfy me maybe being a dancer, but it just cannot, as far as the artistic expression, it just cannot fully express who I really am. So the only way is to start my own company so I can commit to a mission and to work with my dancer every day to build my own style and my own aesthetics.
Our guest this week on Spectrum is Nani Chen, along with Andy Cheng, who are with the Nani Chen Dance Company. And Andy, give us the website address so people can go look at the website, which is very attractive, by the way, and also where they can see the schedule of where you're going to be performing.
Sure. I'm very proud of the website. We just launched it. And it really give you a great view of how diverse this company really is. It's not a company for all just all Asian Americans. It's a company of all really different many different colors and many different styles and views and all kinds of things that are going on. So the website address is nainichen.org.
Okay.
.org.
NaniChen.org. No hyphens or anything.
No
just
hyphen.
Straight through. Yeah, what you were talking there, I was just was kind of amazed by the geography of your dance company. You have people from the Baltimore area. You have people from Singapore, from, let's see here, Beijing. You've got Shanghai. You've got Shenyang. You've got Hubei. You know, people from pretty much all over the place.
From Italy.
Yeah. How did you assemble all of these folks? How did you find them or did they find you?
Well, both, you know, some of them were introduced, you know, into the company, and most of them got into the company through audition process. As you know, that New York is the world, the capital of dance, you know, so a lot of international dancers, they all come to New York to pursue their career. So whenever I have auditioned, usually just a lot of, you know, a big crowd will turn out. And especially for female dancers, it's so competitive. And usually during the audition, I will select them based on their technique, their artistry, and rather than their ethnic background.
At the performances, how do you come up with the program? Are you doing original material? Are you taking stories from Chinese folk backgrounds? Are you doing contemporary things? What would a typical Nani Chen show look like?
I would say all of the above. I think this is a company that has been existing for 20 or so years. 26 years now. And we are interested in reaching people. So in many different ways, I think originally Nani was creating her own original choreography, and she continues to do so. Oftentimes we would meet one or two or three artists who have their own material, maybe from an ancient practice or a particular Chinese instrument. And so we began to know these people, but and also they also appreciate Naini because she really come from a lineage of teachers who originally first was the first wave of teachers who came with the nationalists to Taiwan. And she really understands how and appreciates, you know, great artists. So she began to collaborate sometimes with these artists, and we will produce programs that combines the traditional art with contemporary work. And so, you know, almost very, very recently, we began to look at the folk tales and legends of China and wondered, can we use some contemporary approach to them? So we are also, you know, experimenting on that side as well. So there's a lot going on in the company, and dancers are challenged in every way to be able to, you know, at one moment tell stories, in another be an athlete sort of, and be an acrobat, and on the third and being an actor. So, you know, in many different ways they come into the company. So the company's got a great reputation in the New York dance community, being a place where dancers can be trained, where people become great dancers if they're not already.
Right. Well, I see that you've performed, I mean, all over the place. You've been, of course, NJPAC. You've been at Joyce, you know, all kinds of places. And it's interesting that as Andy was speaking there, that obviously, if we go back in history, 50, 70 years or so, we see that Taiwan became the repository for a lot of Chinese art and culture, while the mainland sort of didn't move very very
they
far.
They went through the cultural revolution.
The cultural revolution days. Mm-hmm. So it preserved a lot of the Chinese art. And maybe that made it very good for you because you got to see things that maybe a lot of people on the mainland were never exposed to who may have been your contemporaries.
I think mainly it's the concept. You know, I remember in school being a dance major, and I really appreciate the curriculum that include the Peking opera, including the Tai Chi, a lot of music courses, and Chinese folk dance, ballet, modern, of course. And other than those dance technique, also a very important part is that I had Chinese poetry, Chinese visual art history. You know, I think those and the philosophy, like the, you know, like the Taoism, the Confucians, and, you know, those like philosophy courses and history courses and the visual art courses all contributed to who I am as artist today.
Even as we speak, you know, in these few days, Naini is working with a very well-known Korean pop trio called the An Trio. They are Sony Record stars. You know, then they play, although they play classical music, but it's the kind of classical that is new, that is being played, you know, on many, you know, popular music stations sometimes.
Well, a lot of the Chinese acts, artists, pop singers that we play on China America Radio use choreography a good deal in their performances. They just don't stand on stage anymore and just sing. You have some people like Sholo, who's a very popular artist who's known as a dancer. You have some artists that came from boy bands with a lot of choreography. The Korean boy band Super Junior has got 10 people, and they never stop moving on stage. So
it's such integration.
Definitely.
And if you look at music radio, you know, a lot of it is dance.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's definitely not only just the singer moving, but sometimes the singer isn't even there, but it's a whole new, you know, conceptual dance in there. People dance from their living room to the forest, for example. You know, there are very, very refreshing ideas that comes out of both the dance world and the music video world that are being integrated. And that's an exciting thing that the dance company is also approaching.
Any dance is not easy. It's very difficult, and of course the trick is to make it look easy. And it doesn't matter whether it's tap or jazz or ballet or traditional Chinese, there's a lot of discipline that goes with it, and behind every dancer are years and years of hanging up tights and dance belts, drying in the shower, and torn muscles and aches and pains and late nights and frustration and living off of ramen noodle. But I really appreciate you as a dancer, even, you know, because of what you do. And I'm really looking forward to your performances. And once again, the website is, give it again.
NaiNiChen.org. It's NaiNiChen.org.
And people can go on there, and you perform frequently here in the greater New York area. So you're really not far away.
Yes, I encourage people to come to see us if you haven't, because really we're one of the few Asian American-led companies in the United States. I mean, professional companies, that is. And the dancers practice literally every day.
I actually have about 13 dancers.
Right.
And just because the company, we do modern contemporary dance, original choreography. We also preserve traditional Chinese dance. So I have a few dancers who are only in the traditional Chinese dance area. And the majority, like 8 to 9 dancers, they are doing everything.
They do everything.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You can supplement with extra people when you need it.
Cool. Right.
But thank you again, Andy and Nani, for coming by China America Radio. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.